Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is a drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Someone on the text line says, hey, C-Dot, did you see that the Bengals grabbed one of our practice squad players 5 days before the biggest game of the year? Such cheaters. I'll say that that's actually kind of smart. I mean, if the same was on the reverse, I would tell the Chiefs to pick up the Bengals player. I mean, you cut Chris Lammons and every team can claim him. I mean, I can't really fault Cincinnati for following the rules. You know, I can't really fault them there. There's a lot of things to be mad about Cincinnati for. Following the rules ain't really one of them. I mean, you knew the risk when you released him. You knew that he could be claimed, and you're just assuming that what he's going to say isn't that bad. I mean, if we're being completely honest here, I mean, these three teams have played each other. This will now be four times in 13 months. I'm not sure if Chris Lammons is telling Cincinnati something that they don't already know about the Kansas City Chiefs or haven't seen on film.
By the way, he's a special teamer. So what's he going to say? Hey, guys, that unit stinks. We know. We've all seen.
I mean, I imagine he was in for the cornerback meetings, too. I mean, I would imagine he was a part of that. These two teams have seen each other enough over the last year or so that I don't know if Chris Lammons is sharing any information with the opposition that the Chiefs are like, fine. They know that. I don't think he's given that away too many trade secrets. So I want to play this for you. We'll get to the hits here coming up in a little bit. This audio started circulating earlier today. So Cincinnati was celebrating their win over the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, and the camera caught them saying this.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, we'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Now, Rob and I disagree. I don't know if you can call a stadium Burrowhead if you only have one win in the stadium. But the one win was a pretty impressive win. But more so than that, media folks like myself spent years coming up with all these different answers on who the rival was going to be for the Kansas City Chiefs. For a time, it was Houston. For a time, it was Baltimore, Cleveland. Like, how many times did Patrick Mahomes have to tell the story about playing Baker Mayfield in college? We did the same thing with Buffalo. We now know the answer. We were wondering who the Manning-Brady, what the quarterback rivalry was going to be that defined the AFC. And we now officially have our answer. The answer is Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that Joe Burrow's going anywhere. I see a sentiment on the text line of, hey, Burrow's done it with all these weapons. You don't do great things without being surrounded by great people and great players. So, yeah, Burrow's come into the league, and, yeah, they've drafted well around him. We're not talking about NBA that they've created some kind of shortcut by signing Kevin Durant. They drafted T. Higgins. They drafted Tyler Boyd. They drafted Jamar Chase. They drafted Burrow. They've built their organization, quote, the right way. So I give Cincinnati a lot of credit for what they've done. I give Kansas City a lot of credit for what they've done and be able to maintain it. And the fact that they traded one of their most explosive players yet find themselves in the exact same position, a home game against Cincinnati to go to the Super Bowl, is a tremendous testimony to what they've accomplished over the last 5 years. The Chiefs are doing something that no team in NFL history can say that they've done. They've hosted the conference championship game for a half decade now. Think about how dominant the Patriots were. They had to go on the road in a couple of these things. Think about how great the Steelers were, how great the 49ers, the Cowboys were. The Chiefs have hosted this game for five consecutive seasons. A tremendous accomplishment. The Chiefs and its fan base have been able to claim superiority over 14 teams in the AFC. You guys have gotten your jokes off. We've all seen them. But you can't do that to Cincinnati. That's what a rivalry is. It's back and forth. These are two very even teams. The Chiefs have had commanding leads in the three matchups, double digits in two of them, and was driving late with the chance to put the game on ice. This comes down to a couple of things. Who protects the football? Who protects their quarterback? But this is a rivalry. If you've grown up in this city or followed baseball and sports in this town for any amount of time, you have heard stories about the Royals and the Yankees and how intense that rivalry used to be in the 70s. That's what this rivalry is. These two teams don't like each other. I hear older sports fans talk about how these younger athletes are so buddy-buddy and how they're fraternizing on the base paths and doing all these things. Not these two teams. They don't like each other. They shouldn't. The team in front of them is trying to stop them from their ultimate goal of playing for a championship. There shouldn't be love between these two teams. I like that it's chippy. I like the fact that Cincinnati calls it Burrowhead and comes in with the measure of cockiness. I like the fact that the Chiefs can tout their Super Bowl ring and say, hey, regardless of what you guys are talking about, you haven't been able to stand on top of the mountain the way that we have. And until you do that, don't talk to me. That's what a rivalry is. This is more intense than the rivalry between the Chiefs and the Raiders in the 90s. Sure, it's a divisional matchup, Raider Hater Week. How many of those games were really playing for something? How many of those games have true meaningfulness? How about the Chiefs and the Broncos? Chiefs and the Broncos played, what, one time in the postseason in the 90s? It was a big-time game. It was in the divisional round. This is back-to-back years in the AFC Championship. Same coach, same quarterback. This is how rivalries get made. I love it. I love the fact that the Chiefs have a legitimate contender. And for the Chiefs to continue to wear the crown on their head that I think they have, you got to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. And all these other teams have claimed to be a thorn in the side of the Kansas City Chiefs. Cleveland claimed it. Baltimore claimed it. All these other teams have claimed to be the thorn in your side. The real answer is Cincinnati. And we always knew that it was going to come down to this from the very beginning of the season. If the Chiefs were going to go to the Super Bowl, they were going to have to go through either Buffalo or Cincinnati to do that. Well, we're days away from that. If you can overcome your biggest fear, the biggest boogeyman, your biggest threat, you get 2 weeks to celebrate the Chiefs going to its third Super Bowl in 5 years. Or that team will go 4-0 against you, and you think they're talking now. Let them beat you multiple seasons two times and both times in the Arrowhead Invitational. If you think the Bengals are annoying now, they will never cease to not be annoying if they win this game on Sunday.
We talked about it yesterday, just that chip on your shoulder. Everyone talking about a neutral AFC championship game, not even thinking about you guys. How much did that motivate you coming into this?
You better send those refunds.
So, Rob, let's get to the hits.
The hits. Getting you caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City on your drive home from work, number one.
Carrington, as always, hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car repair in Kansas City since 1967. Carrington, it's a shock to me. It's a stunner to you. The city is perplexed, but the top story of the day in Kansas City on AFC Championship Week Tuesday is not the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Kansas City Royals, who earlier today traded Adalberto Mondesi, the much-maligned shortstop, to the Red Sox for a relieving left-hand arm and a player to be named later.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by Josh Vernier and get his thoughts on this trade with Adalberto Mondesi. Vern, I appreciate you hopping on today for the hits. I mean, to me, this is pretty simple. Adalberto Mondesi has been here for 7 years, and it has been 7 years of frustration, of failed promises, of empty promises. I'm just happy that the Royals were ready to move on. It was not working, whatever it was, health, whatever it was not working here in Kansas City. If the Royals are going to tout that they're new and moving in a new direction, no Dayton Moore, J.J. Piccolo's in charge, they had to get rid of some of the things that have really held them down over the last four or five seasons or so. I think this is a good day for the Royals.
Well, I don't know if having Adalberto Mondesi on the team has held them back. Relying on Adalberto Mondesi to be an everyday player for the team has ultimately hurt them, especially over the past two seasons. So one correction, it's Mondesi and a player to be named later or cash, both of those things being sent to Boston in return for lefty reliever Josh Taylor. But yes, Carrington, I think you speak for Royals fans listening. Getting Adalberto Mondesi out of a Royals uniform is good for the psyche, I guess, of Royals fans, of Royals media. But inside that Royals clubhouse, outside of Salvador Perez, it's not as if there was this elephant in the room with Adalberto Mondesi. Now, J.J. Piccolo says earlier today, we want to be clear with our intentions. This is a move to assure Bobby Witt Jr. is our shortstop. He is our guy moving forward, which to me was perplexing somewhat. Were you concerned that Mondesi was going to come in and be the best defensive shortstop and have a quality bat and earn everyday ABs at third base? Because there's no way you can convince me Adalberto Mondesi not being on the 26-man roster and being replaced by keeping Nicky Lopez or whoever you want to go to. I just don't say that the 2023 team is better today than it was yesterday.
And I certainly could.
2023 might not matter. It's certainly shaping up to be an evaluation for 2024.
No, and that's certainly fair. And I don't disagree with you when it comes to that. Like his talent, he still has a year under contract. It's still relatively cheap. I certainly agree with you there. But you and I have both played this game for long enough. You and I both know what was going to happen. He was going to play really good in spring training, and then the new manager was going to talk about how he fits into their plans. he was going to hit six for this team, and how they were incredibly optimistic. To me, the Royals are trying to sell new in 2023. They're out trying to pitch a new stadium. They're pitching, hey, J.J. Piccolo's in charge. They just couldn't sell new to me with Adalberto Mondesi, especially with everything that has just been attached to it. We've been doing the same song and dance for 4 years when it comes to him. And what do we have to show for? 30 home runs and 115 RBIs.
You're 100% right. I agree with what you're saying. And yes, I agree. That's likely how it would have transpired over the course of spring training with Mondesi performing well, earning a job, and getting some people excited once again. I understand your point, and I feel that sentiment amongst media and Royals fans alike. But the whole selling new, which you're right, that's top to bottom, that's what the Royals are selling this offseason, is our pitching development, everything is new. Well, the only thing that I care about is, how about wins? You know, wins are new. Wins are what we're hoping for. And I think the whole pitch that we're going to hear this offseason will maybe carry into the first 2 weeks of the season. If the team doesn't win, then whatever they're selling, the few people that are tuning in are going to tune out.
I'm just laughing that you said wins are new. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I can't really, you know, I mean, I kind of felt like that Alonzo Mourning meme. I can't really argue. Wins
it's the only thing Kansas City wants right now. We don't care about anything other than winners. Either deliver us a winner or we'll catch you in 24.
No, that's certainly true. Last thing here, Vernon, we'll get you out of here. I appreciate your time. Let's say that he hits 290 with the Red Sox. Let's say that he hits 25 home runs and 100 RBIs. How mad do you think fans are? Do you think fans even care about Mondesi moving forward?
Well, yeah, no, of course. They'll be apoplectic. It'll turn into you never should have let him go. He was only going to make $3 million, so why not keep him until the trade deadline? Hindsight, everyone will benefit from hindsight if Mondesi does indeed tear up Fenway Park as their everyday shortstop.
That's our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show for the hits to talk about Adalberto Mondesi being traded to the Red Sox. Thanks, Vern.
This is crazy, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Josh Vernier joining us on the show. Really quickly, and we'll get back to football here coming up in just a little bit. Jeffrey Flanagan joined us. This was 2 years ago. And he called Adalberto Mondesi the most talented player that the Royals have had since Bo Jackson. Listen to this.
He's got a cannon of an arm. He's at least right now, he's the fastest guy in the organization. And he's the most talented guy in the organization. He's the most talented guy I've covered since Bo Jackson. I mean, how many guys do you know that could steal 70 bases and hit a ball 470 feet from both sides of the plate? So get him on the field and keep him healthy.
It is impossible to not think about Mondesi through the lens of what if. And we never got anywhere close. It's not even like Mondesi had that one career year where Mondy hit 285, 30 home runs, 105 RBIs, had a chance to make an all-star team that we could kind of point to, hey, man, look at the peak. It's not like he's Penny Hardaway. Like right now, you can go on the internet, you can see like 15 minutes of Penny Hardaway and think, man, he had a chance to be Magic Johnson. You know, Bo Jackson. You know, you got Bo Jackson highlights from baseball and football that, hey, man, if Bo hadn't broken his hip, Bo would have been a Hall of Famer in one of these two, maybe both of them. You know, you can really let your mind go crazy. Let's say that Zion Williamson gets hurt in 2 years. Man, we've seen Zion play before, and it's like, wow. And when you explain Zion 15 years from now from kids that didn't see him play, he was one of the most athletic human beings I'd ever seen. That's not the feeling that we have right now with Adalberto Mondesi. It's all disappointment. What's the Mondesi play that you'll remember? What's the highlight that you'll remember? What's the thing that he did that 10, 15 years from now we'll watch highlights of? We're still watching Bo Jackson throws, still watching Bo Jackson runs, still telling Bo Jackson stories. What's the Adalberto Mondesi story that people are going to have? He doesn't have any. It has been one of the most disappointing, hollow, empty tenures in Kansas City that I can remember. It's like Kendrell Bell, you know? Like the hype Kansas City had for Kendrell Bell. Like, oh, man, we got that guy? Oh, man, it didn't really work out that way. It's like Ty Law. It is one of the more disappointing things that I can remember. I can't think of anything that's close to what we've seen with Mondesi, especially for how long it was. It was 7 years. Mondesi played in the 2015 World Series, and then the next year was on the team. At one point, they watched him play baseball and Whit Merrifield play baseball and determined that Mondesi was an everyday starter for them. That's what happened. And it has just gone the exact opposite for his career. Here's Hutt saying the same thing.
This kid has all the tools that you could want as a baseball player. He is the top shelf athlete that's ever been produced. He's as good as Bo Jackson.
Text line 913-586-7610. See that I feel this way about Priest Holmes. Who knows what kind of records he would have broken? He certainly could have been a Hall of Famer if not for the Sean Merriman hit. That still bothers me. At least you have positive memories of Priest Holmes. Like right now, you can tell your kid, whenever you look up there in the Chiefs Ring of Honor and you see 31 P. Holmes and your kid asks, who's that? You'll have a positive story to tell him. Hey, man, for 2 years, he was great. When you go on Priest Holmes' Pro Football Reference page and you look at how good he was, there's a 3-year stretch where you could argue that he was the best running back in the National Football League. Sure, it didn't turn out to the height of what it could have been. We at least feel like we got to see Priest Holmes in Kansas City. Does anybody know who the Mondesi is? We kept hearing about this. The most Mondesi played in one season was 100 games. The most home runs he had in a season were 14. The most RBIs he had was 62. He was Chris Getz with optimism is who he was in Kansas City. You can't say that about Priest Holmes. At one point, he was Tomlinson. He was Marshall Faulk. He was Sean Alexander. The other guy was Joey Gathright with power. That's who the other guy was. Let's get back to football, Rob.
Two.
Long hit. Longest hit we've ever had. We actually had more hits there than Mondesi.
Setting records with hit number two, just in pure length. Well, Carrington, as you mentioned, is AFC Championship weekend.
I got to say pause there. I don't know if 100%, but I feel like pause is definitely warranted for what you just said.
Why?
I don't know if I can repeat it now.
It's 100% the longest hit of all time.
Then you said other words.
All right, Carrington. Well, as always, we talk about the NFL in the hits, and despite the Chiefs being in the AFC Championship game, they are not the only headline in the NFL. Colin Cowherd was on FS1 today with The Herd saying that his friend Sean Payton is down to basically one team.
Russell Wilson is washed amid the Sean Payton rumors. I have been told the Broncos have made a decision. They want Sean Payton. Russell Wilson has told the Broncos owners he wants Sean Payton. Here's the dilemma. According to an NFL exec, Denver's got the best tradition. The new owners seem aggressive. They're willing to spend. But I think Russell Wilson's washed, and the lack of draft capital holding him back. The defense is very good, but Mahomes and Herbert aren't going anywhere in that division.
Carrington, at this point, for the former Saints coach, and I guess technically still Saints-controlled coach, it seems like Denver or bust for Sean Payton.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. The more and more this goes on, the more I don't think that Sean Payton's going to take the job. I don't think he's taking the Arizona Cardinals job. I don't think he's going to the Colts or the Panthers or Houston. I think he either takes the Broncos job because he feels like he can help transform Russell Wilson, or he goes back to Fox for a year and he just rolls the dice next year and sees what happens. Like, we could see Brandon Staley getting fired next year, couldn't we? Maybe he really wants the Chargers job. So I think the more that this goes on, especially if it goes on into the weekend, I think he just announces that he's staying at Fox. He's not taking the Broncos job, and the Broncos end up hiring Dan Quinn. That just seems like a very Broncos thing to do, to hire the Cowboys defensive coordinator, and because to keep the defense good, and then they try to go find some young hotshot whiz offensive coordinator. That just feels like something the Broncos would do. They would just hire Vic Fangio 2.0.
Three. Carrington, hit number three is very simple. Do you know that we opened the hour with the Royals? Do you know what that means in the 5 o'clock hour?
Random Royals lineup.
Where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
On the Tuesday of the AFC Championship game. Who would have thunk it? Not me.
Look at us. Not me. Carrington, today's Royals random lineup is Adalberto Mondesi's, then Raul Mondesi's, first regular season game with the Kansas City Royals. This took place in 2016 in July.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Leading off at shortstop,
Alcides Escobar.
Batting second at third base, Chesler Cuthbert.
Alcides Escobar, to me, is just a really good example. You know how sports people like yourself love to throw out all these numbers. Man, sometimes it just works. Like, the numbers just can't really explain it. It just works. You know, baseball people would find all these, well, this is why it doesn't matter if he should be the leadoff guy or not. For whatever reason, it just works for the Royals. Leave the Royals alone.
What do you mean, people like me? Don't you do this for a living, too?
You way more of a baseball numbers guy than I am. Hey, Scott Rowland just got announced to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Congrats for him.
Good for Scott. Batting third that day, first baseman Eric Hosmer. Batting fourth, the DH Kendrys Morales. Batting fifth, the catcher Salvador Perez. Sixth was Alex Gordon in left field. We knew those guys. They weren't fun parts.
Oh, here we go. Now, 7, 8, 9 is about to be a journey.
7, 8, 9, and the pitchers are about to be an absolute blast.
Let's do it.
Batting seventh in center field, Paulo Orlando.
Hey, Paulo Orlando. Paulo almost got HUD fired. Y'all remember how Paulo almost got him fired?
Speaking of things we're not going to say, but yeah, we all remember.
He almost got HUD fired. He almost got him fired.
He's Paulo Triple O now and forever.
Yeah. HUD. That might actually be the funniest thing HUD's done. Because you can tell HUD just said it by mistake, and it just popped in his mind. And then he like realized, like, oh, man, I know I shouldn't have said that.
Batting eighth in right field, Brett Eibner.
Who?
Exactly. And batting ninth at second.
No, I'm serious. Who is this? Who's Brett Eibner?
You remember Brett Eibner?
Brett Eibner sounds like he was the director for the fourth Transformers movie.
Brett Eibner was definitely a baseball player who was in four games. He was a college athlete they drafted, played right field.
You know, I'm starting to see why the 2016 season wasn't really working that well.
Mondesi batted ninth. Your pitchers for the day, Starting was Dylan G. Speaking of people I don't remember in a Royals jersey.
Dylan G? Dylan G definitely played 3 years in the majors. 100%.
Dylan G. Let's see. Dylan G was in the league for 7 seasons.
Okay. Congratulations, Dylan G.
Dylan was relieved quickly after five.
No one is surprised that his start didn't last long.
He had 5 strong innings and then was relieved by Chris Young, who went 3 1/3.
He's now the general manager for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm. And it all fell apart for the Royals in the 9th as they gave up 7 runs.
Oh, wow.
All 7 runs were earned by Chin Ming Wong.
Hey!
And then cleaning up the mess, because Chin Ming Wong didn't get out of the 9th.
No, he created the mess.
Drew Butera came in and got an out that day as a pitcher.
Oh, my goodness.
The Royals lost the Mondesi opener 13-0.
That was a sign of things to come.
Falling to 48-51 on the season.
We should have known.
That is today's random Royals lineup.
We should have known. Right then and there, we should have had... We should have known that was not going to work out for one Raul Mondesi. He tried to then rebrand and change his name. We should have known right then and there that was not going to work. Hey, I know you. I know you. We should have known right then and there. All right, let's get back to talking football here. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Eli Apple has turned into... one of the biggest villains in the National Football League. We'll tell you how. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch former All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz Tuesday starting at 3 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The home of the Royals is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
So let me tell you what's going on with Eli Apple, in case you guys missed it. Maybe you're not on the Twitter sphere, so you might have missed the back and forth. So Stephon Diggs tweeted out, "It's easy to criticize my reaction more than the result." So Stephon Diggs, he got into that little kerfluffle with Josh Allen on the sideline. He then left the stadium, came back. It was a whole lot of mess. Eli Apple then retweeted it and commented and said, "Cancun on 3," and then did the heart hands emoji. Now, the heart hands emoji is a DeMar Hamlin thing. Plenty of other emojis you could have sent in this situation. He could have sent the airplane emoji, could have sent the peace emoji, could have just sent a regular heart emoji. I don't think it would have caused any stir. The fact that he included the DeMar Hamlin heart hand emoji, a little odd, a little questionable. Over the line. I'm all for trash talk. In fact, I welcome it. It makes my job a whole lot easier when the athletes talk to one another and say interesting things. So I am all for it. I'm not condemning Eli Apple. You go in there and say whatever you want to say. He's then retweeting memes mocking the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, as you would imagine, didn't take too kind to this. Shaq Lawson tweeted him and said, yo, you played a good game, but watch the disrespect towards DeMar Hamlin's situation. That gets you beat up in real life. Let's keep it on the field. Eli Apple then replied and said, it's a shame you couldn't keep that same energy on the field. Maybe the outcome would have been different. Enjoy Mexico with your homies. I don't know when Eli Apple started talking and acting this way. Eli Apple is a good player in the National Football League. He's talking like he's Darrell Revis. He's talking like he's Deion Sanders, primetime Deion Sanders. He told Stephon Diggs, safe travel to Cabo. Eli Apple is a trip. And then he tried to apologize for the DeMar Hamlin thing. All love, thoughts and prayers and concerns to DeMar Hamlin as he continues his recovery from that tragic incident. Never would I make light of that scary, unfortunate scene. This game is truly a dangerous risk to our bodies, mind, and spirit. Nothing but love to all my football brothers. Eli, you had to have known that the heart hand emoji thing is a DeMar Hamlin thing. I'm not saying he's the only one that does it. I'm not saying he's got a trademark on it. But you can't see that you can't send that emoji while mocking a Buffalo Bills player? You either are stupid or crazy. Maybe both. I love the trash talk. We can keep the DeMar Hamlin situation out of it, you know? You want to say 1-2-3 Cancun? I got no issues with that. You did send them to Cancun. You want to know where I know Stephon Diggs isn't spending the next week? In Buffalo. You know where I would be going if I'm him? Cabo. I'd be going to Greece, somewhere warm. The Bengals have really turned into villains here. They better win, because I'm telling you, I know my city. I know you guys pretty well, and it will be hell for Eli Apple and Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, for all the yapping they have done here over the last 3 weeks. If they lose on Sunday, Eli Apple, you better delete Twitter, because you're talking all this right now. You better play well and y'all better win, because I'm telling you, boy, you might need to delete the app off your phone, because it is going to be coming in from all sides, and deservedly so. Deservedly so. This is why I think it's a rivalry. Someone on the text line said, hey, CDOT, don't both teams have to win for it to be a rivalry? I don't think so. In my opinion, a rivalry is when two evenly matched teams are fighting for the same thing. You remember the Seattle-San Francisco rivalry that they had when Russell Wilson was a young player and Kaepernick, and how physical those games used to be? You knew every time that those two teams played each other that it was going to be a physical, tightly contested game. And you knew that it meant something. This is for who's the best team in the AFC. This is for everything. That's a rivalry to me. Sure, Kansas City hasn't won as much as you would like in these matchups. This is a rivalry. It's been a one-sided rivalry so far. I can't deny that. They've won more times in this than you won. But the passion is there. The competitiveness is there. The animosity is there. The stakes are also there. You don't get much bigger in the AFC than this. Who goes to the Super Bowl? You guys have named it the Arrowhead Invitational, and that's exactly what it's been for a half decade now. If you want to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, you need to come to Kansas City and win. Two teams have done that. Tom Brady and the Patriots, the greatest dynasty we have ever seen, and Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And that same team, that same coach, that same quarterback, those same wide receivers, a lot of the pieces on defense are coming back to try to do it again. That's a rivalry. You know the importance of this game. You know the stakes of this game, the anticipation, the anxiety that you are going to feel. That's a rivalry. And that's why I say it's the biggest rivalry that we've ever seen. MU and KU have never played a basketball game for this. Never played a football game, maybe the one, for this.
Well, the basketball in 12, was
in this. That was a regular season basketball game. It was big. Don't get me wrong. You never thought they would play again. The winner of this goes to the Super Bowl. What you're talking about is an Elite Eight matchup where Missouri's got a chance to go to its first Final Four, and you got to beat Kansas to do it. This is the opportunity for the Chiefs to go to 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. In the last 5 years. We're talking stuff that the San Francisco 49ers did. We're talking about stuff the Dallas Cowboys did, the Patriots did. We're talking about putting yourself in rarefied air. And one team stands in the way of that. It's Cincinnati. We all knew if the Chiefs wanted to get back to the Super Bowl, they were going to have to overcome one of two people. They were going to have to be Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. We've known that since they were in St. Joe. This was like the NBA. Let's just fast forward to Bucks and Celtics. We know that's the Eastern Conference final. That's where we are right now in the NFL season. We knew this is what it was going to come down to. These are the two best teams in the AFC, and we'll get to settle it on the field. All the talking is certainly from the Cincinnati side. We'll see if you can continue that talking, because those past 3 games ain't got nothing to do with those 60 minutes on Sunday. Do the Chiefs protect the football? Do the Chiefs protect Patrick Mahomes? Do they get after Joe Burrow? If they check those 3 boxes, they will win the football game. They have not done that in the other 3 matchups. They've lost the other 3 matchups. Can they protect their quarterback? Can they get after Cincinnati's quarterback? Do they make the costly turnover? Because this rivalry has really been defined by the Chiefs making a late mistake and Cincinnati being able to capitalize on it. The first matchup, you remember, they had multiple penalties on the final drive. Since he scores, they win the football game. In the AFC Championship game, the second half, the Chiefs won the coin toss. They have the ball, a chance to go win. They throw an interception. Cincinnati wins the game. The regular season matchup, the Chiefs have the ball, driving to put the game on ice. Travis Kelce fumbles. What's normally happened is the Chiefs have played well, and they have made one critical mistake at the end, and Cincinnati has taken advantage of it to win the game. Do the Chiefs avoid that critical penalty, that critical mistake to cost them the game? And if they avoid it, even with Patrick Mahomes hobbled, I think they can win this football game. I think they should win this football game. They just haven't done that so far against Cincinnati. Coming up on the other side, there was a report from Adam Schefter of where Aaron Rodgers could potentially go. We'll make that our extra point. We'll also keep talking about the AFC Championship game on Sunday at Arrowhead. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15. Right here on your official podcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
All right, I said I was going to talk about Aaron Rodgers, and we might talk about Aaron Rodgers. There's two things that the text line is asking me about that they've asked all day, and this is now the perfect time to talk about it. First thing, hey, CDOT, I know we have to beat the Bengals, but can we talk about Carl Sheffers? Rob asked me this earlier today. Hey, we're going to talk about this? And I was like, nah, man, I don't really have the energy to talk about it. Why not? People are talking about it. I just don't have it in me to talk about the referee of the next football game yet. If they win, I'm sure we'll talk about Carl Sheffers. I'm sure he will be a point of conversation. Chiefs got they got enough stuff that they got to deal with on Sunday. And their own game. Right now, their quarterback is on one leg. They've lost to this team 3 consecutive times. He's got a lot of stuff going on, you know. It's just kind of hard for me to look ahead to focus on what's happening with Carl Sheffers. I mean, I know the numbers. I know what they say. It does really bother me that, I mean, according to the NFL, Carl Sheffers is one of their best officials. I mean, that... if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the NFL, then I don't know what will. I mean, this is the Super Bowl, right? This is the game that 150 million people tune into around the world. They got Rihanna. They're already highlighting the halftime show for the game. They've been doing that for a month. If you got Apple Music, go. They have a Rihanna Super Bowl playlist right now for you to click on. The fact that Carl Sheffers is their best official just, I mean, it confirms everything I think about the National Football League. They don't care about the officiating. They really don't. Whatever their grading system is terrible. Stinks. Cannot be good if he's the best. But I don't have it in me to get that upset about the official for 3 weeks from now. I just don't have it in me. Maybe I should. Maybe I'd be a better sports talk host if I did. I just don't. I don't have it in me. Another person asked this question. CDOT, I know I'm late to the show, but have you guys seen that DeMar Hamlin is dead and the NFL is covering it up with the stand-in? This has been a theory on social media that DeMar Hamlin is a clone, or that DeMar Hamlin is passed away and that he is that the NFL is using a body double. This is a real question. Why do the people that believe theories like this always believe like the most outrageous theories? Like, if you believe this, then you don't think that we landed on the moon. Or you think Sandy Hook didn't happen. You believe some of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Like, all the people that I've seen on social media that are peddling this are the people that believe those things. It's just a one-to-one. It's a one-to-one. Just why? Why is it? Just help me understand, you know? I know we talk about stereotypes, but you know, these are the same people that thought they were putting microchips in us when they were trying to give us the vaccine. It's always the same type. It's always the same kind of people. Just why is this? Why?
On top of all that, it's extremely disrespectful to DeMar Hamlin and his family that there's some massive conspiracy and he's actually dead. Just why?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And by the way, the whole thing stems from the fact that he wore snow goggles and a beanie in the suite. That's the crux of where this thing comes from, which is also very silly.
Someone said the moon's a different theory. Okay, all right. I'm saying the people that believe that DeMar Hamlin actually passed away and that the NFL is using a body double are also the people that believe that we didn't land on the moon. They are not any different people. They're the same. They're the same people. I just want to know why.
But are the 5G towers the reason the coronavirus happened? People are asking.
Yeah, they're the same people. It is just, it's got to be tiring to live that way, you know? I know everybody's entitled to their own thoughts, and I'm not trying to tell any grown-up how to think. It's just got to be really tiring to think that about everything. It's got to be really tiring.
Who has the time to keep up with all that?
Who started this?
I was going to blame TikTok.
Like, who started this? At this point, I'm going to just go ahead and let you guys know. If Jason Whitlock thinks something, it's just assume I'm on the other side of it. You know, we don't really get into, like, my personal beliefs and what I think, but just if Jason Whitlock is saying something, just assume that I am on the opposite side. If Clay Travis thinks something, just come into it just thinking that I am on the other side of that issue. Whatever that issue may be, just assume I'm on the other side. Just from what I know about those two individuals, just assume that Carrington thinks the exact opposite of what they think. Someone on the text line, I can't really tell if this is real or not real. CDOT, you hate the cold. Would you be in a heated suite wearing two jackets and a face mask for 3 hours? Tell us why we haven't seen his face. Okay. I don't know what to say. I don't really know what you guys want me to say in these situations. I think it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, near the top. like at the top of one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, we should have known. I mean, this was the cycle of it. The story was too positive, you know? He had this very, very serious thing happen. And it was a feel-good story, you know? And it just couldn't stop it being a feel-good story, you know? It just couldn't stop there. We had to do all of this in the middle of it. One of these days, I'm just going to quit. And you're going to be like, oh, man, Carrington, why'd you just leave? Well, stories like this are what just drove me to just do something else with my life. What did Carrington do? I don't know what I do after this. I don't know how much longer I got of this. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Continuing to get you ready for the AFC Championship game. It is a drive. Take care of yourself.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.